So Keith Higginbotham is the IT system manager with the Bureau of Information Technology in Alabama Department of Public Health. He's responsible for National Electronic Disease Surveillance System, NEDS, State Lab Information Management System, the LIMS, the Health Alert Network, HAN, and the Electronic Laboratory Reporting Infrastructure. He's a busy man. He's been in public health informatics for over 10 years, and somehow he finds time in his spare time to coach high school volleyball. So, Keith.
Thank you, John. All right, can you hear me? Yes, okay. Yeah, we actually have our first home game tonight that I'm missing, so anyways. So for my benefit, can I just kind of get a show of hands? Who of you are part of a state public health lab, either an IT person for state public health? Okay, so we got quite a few. How many of you guys are already doing FLIP? Okay, so the majority of you. Okay, so again, this is just kind of our experience in Alabama. I'm not going to say it's the right way to do it. It is how we did it, and it works. So hopefully even those of you that have already accomplished this, maybe you'll gain a little bit of insight. Maybe this will trigger an idea for something else, some other interface project that you're working on. So for the rest of you, are you how many of you are with, like, say, CDC lab? Any CDC lab people? No. CDC in general. Okay. Program staff, like disease program staff? Yes. Okay. Just trying to kind of gauge my audience here. So what I'm going to discuss today is just kind of give you a little bit of background about our lab so you kind of understand the context of this. Talk about our landscape at our lab prior to the FLIP project. Some of the considerations we had, some decisions we had to make, things we had to talk about before we implemented FLIP, the actual FLIP implementation, how things have changed since FLIP, and then where we'd like to go beyond the FLIP project. So our background, the Bureau of Clinical Labs, we have two geographically separated labs in Alabama. One of them's in Montgomery. No, Birmingham is not the capital of Alabama. Most people think that. Montgomery is. So I'm actually based out of the Montgomery lab. We also have a lab down in Mobile, down on the coast. We process approximately 700,000 specimens a year, which equates to about 2 million tests per year. So pretty high volume for a fairly small state. The majority of the specimens that are sent to us come from our county health departments, about 75% of those. The rest of them come from either hospitals, national labs. We have LabCorp in Birmingham. They will send us salmonella isolates, and we'll identify them, serotype them. Again, I am IT, so if I kind of get it wrong on the disease side, please forgive me. Kind of the tests that we do, we have a clinical side of our lab as well as environmental. So on the clinical side, it's your typical stuff. We do CTGCs, HIV, syphilis, that's our high volume tests. We do a lot of microbiology, influenza, microorganism IDs and serotypings. We do chemistry, which for some PHLs, they don't do that, but we do. So we'll do blood lead testing, CBCs, HIV viral loads, a lot of other just general blood chemistries. We also do mycobacteriology, so our TB lab is part of the clinical side. And then on the environmental side, we do milk and water testing, animal rabies. Beach water is handled down at our Mobile lab. We do food, shellfish, and we also have a BSL-3 BT testing lab and a BSL-2 CT testing lab. The LIMS system that we just started implementing, I say just started, it's actually about a year and a half ago that we began implementing, was Chemware's Horizon version 10.2. I'm pleased to say that all of our clinical tests are now live in that system. So we're very, very excited about that. We're about to embark on actually modeling and getting in our environmental tests up next. So where were we before we started this whole FLIP process? Influenza testing had already been modeled in our LIM system and was in production, so we were already doing our flu tests within Kimware's system. The actual process for reporting that flu data to CDC was somewhat tedious, manual, time-consuming. We would actually extract flu results into an Excel spreadsheet, send them to our epi group. Our epi group would aggregate the data, send that back to our lab folks. Our lab folks would then turn around, log into the internet reporting system, and manually key those results in. So during the pandemic, that was a very, very time-consuming process. Another little thing to note, influenza is not reportable in Alabama. It was temporarily made reportable back during the pandemic for positives only. Vocabulary, again, prior to FLIP, within Kimware, we already had utilized SNOMED codes for our results. We had local test codes, but we were already mapping those to LOINC codes because we were sending our reportable disease results to EPI via HL7 message. So we had the LOINC and SNOMED already mapped in our system. We do utilize an EDI engine in between our LIM system and our state surveillance system called RHAPSODY. A lot of states are using that now, which handles message creation, routing, parsing, consumption. Again, we were already using this to route electronic lab reports for reportable conditions to our surveillance system. We also had FinMS already installed, although FinMS was not part of that process because it didn't really make sense for us to generate a lab result, send it through FinMS outside our firewall, only to bring it back inside our firewall to our surveillance system. So we just, behind our firewall, did TCP/IP transmission to get our results over to our surveillance system. But, again, it kind of set us up nicely because FinMS is used with the FLIP project. So we had already configured the sender and the receiver for that and had been using, really, the sender and receiver since about 2004. The receiver we were using for our surveillance system to receive LabCorp results. The sender, we're sending in NVM messages to CDC from our surveillance system. And all of those were direct send connections. So some of the things we had to think about in order to implement FLIP within our state lab. Again, for FLIP, all results needed to be reported. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to try to take advantage of our current ELR process to our state surveillance system, because it was a 231 ORU-R01 message, which is exactly what the flu people wanted. But again, the way we had configured our LIM system, the only thing that was being generated in those messages were positive reportable results. So we worked with our vendor and we came up with a way to configure a result, or a test, as potentially negative and reportable. So we configured the flu test, we used a G code, so that we could, utilizing that same HL7 process, get positive and negative flu results being generated outside our LIM system. Another little change that we had to consider was for FLIP, they had some specific FLIP codes that they wanted us to use. Instead of SNOMED codes, they wanted us to use SNOMED concept codes. We already had the SNOMED codes embedded in our system. We didn't want to go through and kind of redesign that. So we knew we were going to have to do some code mapping in RHAPSODY to handle these requirements. And then the other thing that we knew that we would have to handle in RHAPSODY were there's some specific epidemiologic questions that go along as kind of an order and result combination in the HL7 message. So again, we figured that we could handle that also in RHAPSODY. Just a few more considerations. Our standard message going out to our surveillance system, obviously the PID segment was fully populated because surveillance needs all the patient information. So we were going to have to de-identify that. Again, RHAPSODY is a perfect place to do that. We needed a way, because we had one pipe coming out for flu and NEDS messages, we needed a way to be able to distinguish, is this a flu result? And if so, I need to route it to CDC. Is this a non-flu result? Okay, it is. I need to route it to our state surveillance system. So again, Rhapsody has a filtering capability, and we built a filter to handle that. The other thing, you know, again, I mentioned we already had FinMS set up, the sender and receiver. Those were direct send connections. The FLIP team wanted us to use the Florida Route Not Read hub, so we had to get that configured, which was a very simple, pretty straightforward process. All of this, I guess at the very beginning of the project, like Linda mentioned, one of the key things was getting buy-in from the top. Dr. Massengill is our state lab director. She was very excited about this project. Once we got her on board, everything else kind of fell into place. It was very important early on to get our flu SMEs, the actual microbiologists, laboratorians that do the flu tests, that understand it all, get them on board, so they were part of our team. We have two LIMS administrators, Daryl and Ron. They're both microbiologists, so they started in the lab. They've kind of been through every section of our lab as a microbiologist. They were able to move in as our LIMS administrator, which is a huge, huge benefit for us. Then the IT side of the LIMS administrative group was Nalima, who's an interface developer, very versed in Rhapsody. Brenda Riles is our FinMS administrator. Again, she's been utilizing that since about 2004, so we brought her on to this project as well, and then myself. Okay, so after we implemented FLIP, we basically had, you know, the fully automated, near real-time, secure, standardized reporting of flu data to CDC, which is great, because again, it gives them more timely, accurate, and complete information. It also gave us the ability to define our tests and result combinations a little bit more specifically for other types of reporting. So we're going to take advantage now of that ability to categorize a test as reportable even if it's a negative result. We'd like to kind of explore being able to branch out the use of the Florida R&R Hub. I think that's a great thing. If we, as a lab, could have one point of connection for transport to potentially CDC, state hospital labs within our state, other states, I think that would be a great tool for us. Jerry was just an absolute dream for us. Vocabulary seems to be a very difficult thing for labs, because we've been working with hospital labs as well. Before Jerry, it was myself and Daryl kind of sitting down saying, does this look right to you? That doesn't seem right to me. And, you know, we have to go pull the pamphlets and stuff for all the tests and kind of say, okay, well, I think this is close enough, is usually what we would end up with. Well, Jerry came through, kind of took a look at all of our stuff, helped us get it correct. And we did have to phone a friend several times, even after the fact, for non-flu related stuff. So we really appreciate him. And again, all this time, we're trying to reuse processes that already exist. So our HL7 process for NEDS, we reuse that. We'd like to reuse a lot of this other stuff and leverage it for future interfaces. So for any techies that are in here, this is our Rhapsody route for the 231, which is initially started out as our surveillance route to the MBS. As you can see here, this is our little filter to determine if it's NEDS, it goes this way. If it's a FLIP result, then it goes this way. So if it's FLIP, it gets passed to another route. We're doing a data collection check. Even though it's already double checked, sometimes people mess up, and we've had some results go to CDC without a data collection, so that doesn't happen anymore. In our database lookup filter, that's where we're handling a lot of our SNOMED to SNOMED CT mapping, some of our FLIP code mapping, all of that's handled there. And then it's pushed to a folder that FinMS is polling, picks up, and sends on to CDC. All right, so past FLIP, now that we've accomplished that, what's kind of on the horizon for us? Last week, we had some discussions with CDC and APHL about beginning the LIMS-I project. So Those of you that have already accomplished that, let me know, because I'd love to talk to you about that. We're a little nervous about getting into that, but it's something we want to do, something we need to do. Some of the differences between that and FLIP, it's a HL725 message versus 231. There's a lot more strict reporting requirements, or at least that's kind of my take on it. So it's comparable to FLIP, but it's not going to be, you know, a one-to-one relationship there. We may be able to reuse some of the stuff we've done for FLIP, but it's a little bit different beast. ETOR, which they've mentioned, our state lab, we've started our own ETOR project, which is electronic transmission of order and results. Bidirectional HL7, we're doing 2.6, and I think the Salmonella ETOR is also a 2.6 message. But the impetus for this was, we have 67 counties in Alabama. Two of them are large metropolitan areas. They kind of play a little bit by different rules. In a lot of ways, they're way more advanced than the state is because of that. And so they've had electronic health record systems, I believe, for the last 5 years in those two counties. In our other counties, we have a more of a patient encounter billing type system, not a true electronic health record. So they approached us and said, hey, with this new lab system, we would love to send you an electronic HL7 order, get the result back via HL7 so that we can cut out the manual data entry and all the manual process goes along with that. So we've begun that. We've built all the tools for handling that. We worked with our vendor, worked with their EHR vendor, and I'm pleased to say within about 2 weeks we'll go live with that. So every test that they order, they'll be able to send to us electronically, so it's going to save them time. It's also going to save lab time as well. And hopefully we'll be able to leverage that work towards the Salmonella ETOR when we begin that project. So this, again, just a quick for the techies, this is our ETOR inbound order, and I won't go through all the details here. And then outbound, and we have to determine, you know, is this a Jefferson County result or is this a Mobile County result? Make sure we get it sent to the right facility. Some other projects that we're about to start on. We do water testing, as I mentioned, for environmental. And we report that information in a manual process now to ADEM, which is our state responsible reporting authority. I'm not sure the technical term for them. But we want to begin doing the ERLN messaging to them. Obviously, LRNC is not part of the LIMS-I project right now, but will be in the near future. Health Information Exchange. We're one of probably the few states that do not currently have an HIE. We've been told that Medicaid will have that up and going in about the next 2 years, year and a half to 2 years. So obviously that's another consideration for how do we exchange data with the HIE. Meaningful use. I can't talk about technology and data exchange without mentioning that. As John mentioned, I'm responsible for our disease surveillance system, our lab system, our ELR infrastructure. I'm very involved in this. I won't go through. You guys know what meaningful use is all about. Some considerations for us. I'm not involved with the immunization registry, but you know, the final rule says they have to be able to receive either a 231 or a 251 message. We went ahead, I know it's not a phase one requirement, but our immunization group went ahead and built the capacity to do bidirectional now. So we actually have a EHR vendor in production doing bidirectional messaging with our immunization registry. So they'll query the registry, pull back history on a patient. When they give the patient shots, they send us updates. One of the biggest problems that we've seen, or that they've seen, is that most of the EHR systems are kind of billing-based, so they're very heavily tied to CPT codes. Well, on the immunization side, they need to send CBX codes, and that mapping is not a one-to-one mapping. And so they've got a very rigorous testing process before they'll let a EHR vendor go live to make sure that they do understand how to correctly map those CBX CPT codes. For ELR, it's a 251 message, as you know. LOINC is specified in the final rule. SNOMED is, depending on how you read it, we read it that it is required. A lot of hospitals say they read it that it's not required. The way I read it, it says if a SNOMED code is available, then it must be sent. Not necessarily available within your system, but available. So we've had some discussions with hospitals about that. For us, our disease surveillance system natively receives 231 messages. So what's the answer to that? Rhapsody. Rhapsody, we take a 251 message, down convert it to 231, and then it goes to our surveillance system. For syndromic surveillance, that's something kind of new to us. We really haven't done much with syndromic surveillance. We didn't want to give them an out by saying that we can't really handle syndromic surveillance, but it's very new to us. We can receive the 231 or a 251 message. We're still kind of waiting for that implementation and guide to be made finalized and then kind of build from there. So our preference, if the hospitals or providers ask us, are the first two. But if they're dead set on syndromic surveillance, then we'll work with them on that as well. So the scary part, just the sheer volume of what meaningful use means to public health. We're excited about it, but it does scare me to death because I have limited resources. Obviously, there's multiple vendors, so dealing with each vendor is, it's a one-off typically. Most existing ELR interfaces are 2.3 or 2.3.1, so even the hospitals are having to up-convert their messages to 2.5.1. In dealing with hospitals, at least in Alabama, we've run into a lot of confusion about ELR and syndromic surveillance. They don't really seem to understand what the difference is between the two, and sometimes kind of get that confused, so we try to explain, ELR is kind of a known, they have salmonella, versus syndromic surveillance is they have diarrhea and vomiting. You don't really know what the cause is. Another kind of lesson learned, and I guess I'm just naive, ONC certification doesn't necessarily mean to me that their system can generate a compliant message. We've dealt with several hospitals that are using an ONC certified system. They send us their first test message. We run it against the NIST validator, and there's 100 errors in it. So again, to me, I kind of thought if it's ONC certified, then right out of the gate, it's going to be a compliant message. That doesn't seem to be the case, again, at least at some of our hospitals in Alabama. Some of the other concerns, obviously, each state's going to have some specific messaging constraints, so you got to let them know about that. The variety of ways that you can send data, FinMS, Secure FTP, NHN Direct, Secure Web Service. Our choice is this last thing. We use Rhapsody. There's a web service com point in the newest version of Rhapsody. So we built a secure web service, which is kind of a one-stop shop. We're trying to get, regardless of what type of public health data you want to send to us, we want you to send it to us through our secure web service. And we actually have two. One of the web services is for batch data. The other web service is for real-time data. So if you're doing bi-directional, you would hit one of our web services. If you're just sending us batch updates, then you would utilize the other web service. Now, one of the problems we've run into that, we built this thing thinking, we build it and they will come. In talking with some of our hospitals or their vendors, they either don't have the IT staff to do anything with that web service. They all say, well, can we just send it to you via Secure FTP? That's easy. We know how to do that. So we kept running into this over and over again. We have this great web service, but no one's able to consume it. So we built a little lightweight, actually two lightweight applications, one for a Linux environment, one for a Windows environment, that they can install. We provide it to them. They install it on their system, on one of their servers. They tell it what folder they're going to be dropping either their ELR, syndromic surveillance, immunization message if it's batch, that they're going to drop that into. And then our app consumes the web service, passes the data across. receives the ACK back, stores that, and archives the data that they just sent. We've got that at one hospital piloting it. It seems to be working well, so we're going to expand that further. So again, another concern of ours, although we just recently were awarded some additional ELC money, so CDC people, thank you. We really appreciate that. Because prior to that, we kept, my favorite saying is, meaningful use is an unfunded mandate for the states, and all the hospitals are getting all the money, or providers. But the bottom line is, this is painful, but in the end, it's going to be very, very much worth it. Our EPIs are really going to enjoy receiving all this ELR data, and we can save time and staff on having to manually enter that. Okay, so Sherry, our senior EPIs here, she's probably seen this slide several times. I built this in 2004, I think. I was fairly new to the health department. My primary job then was training for the NEDS-based system. And this was kind of my pie-in-the-sky slide. This is what we could do eventually. So I would start off by saying, you know, you got a lab tech at a lab. They just post a positive result for a reportable disease into their LIMS. It automatically sends all the demographics across. Our surveillance system will determine what program area or disease that lab result is for, what jurisdiction the patient lives in, and then show it to that specific county user. They're going to create an investigation based off that lab report. If it meets case criteria, they'll electronically route that up to the state. The state will get to review it. State will send it on to CDC, and we have complete paperless electronic data flow. Well, that's now a reality, which I'm thankful for, so I just thought I'd throw that little slide in there. So this is kind of what my world looks like today, different people that we're interfacing with. The key thing here, it doesn't have to be Rhapsody, it can be Cloverleaf, whatever. You've got to have a good electronic data interchange engine, because that really does make the job a lot easier. There's a few other there. Okay. Thanks.
All right, that was awesome. Am I on? No.
Got a switch. There's. Do you see the switch? There's an on-off switch. You want me to get it?
What did you say, Adam? I haven't been on for years, maybe? I've never heard never. So that was awesome. I actually work with these guys, but I still learn something from these presentations. So we do have time for questions. And two rules, use the mic and please introduce yourself. So, and I will pick on people if I have to.
So I'm Dave Sanderson, and I am on the FLIP team. I'm one of the technical architects. So I kind of have a question. One of the things Desiree mentioned is roughly 80 labs, but the question's not really directed at Desiree, whoever wants to answer it. Of course, as a member of the FLIP team, I would love to see this, but are you looking at going international at all?
I'm not. I'll let Linda talk. There might be other people at CDC who are, but I work on domestic flu surveillance. So, I mean, I don't see why we couldn't. Just the people, there has to be the interest there with the people who work on that.
I'll just add that we are starting to begin working with the Air Force, and they will be housing international data. So possibly if Desiree said, if there's an interest, we might be able to take that data outside of the domestic view and actually do something with it, which would be really great, especially if we can start harmonizing that data.
I'm Adam Browning. I work in data message brokering for the CDC through Northrop Grumman. I guess my question, and I guess maybe for Keith, you've been the probably MBS coordinator for a while now, and I was curious as you went through this process with FLIP and you saw that lab data, how did the transformation, I know MBS uses that 2-3-Z kind of format to take data in, did you find a way to kind of route that flip data with some of that epi data into your system, into the MBS system to present, or is that the lab results for influenza for the flip message, were you able to consume it in your MBS system?
We can consume it. Again, in Alabama, flu is not reportable, so we don't send it to NEDS. At one time back during 2009, we did route that data to our NEDS-based system. That was actually prior to us implementing the flip process. But actually, the messages for NEDS and for FLIP are almost identical, with the exception of the few additional OBR-LBX segments for the syndrome, or not syndromic, for the surveillance question.
The EPI data.
Yeah. And we could, I mean, again, because it's formalized as an OBR-LBX pair, NEDS will import that and will display it as an order and a result.
So this is Dave again. First of all, Keith, you know, we've worked with many different labs. Charles McGee's here from Arkansas. But I just want to point out that Dr. Messengill put on the best spread of snacks for any lab that we've ever worked on. So please thank her for
us. Thank you. One thing I failed to mention, just to kind of give you some time frame, you guys were there for 3 days, 4 days? We almost had it completely working within 4 days. We had it, I think, completely working in 4 weeks. 2 of the weeks, my interface developer was in India, so we had to wait on her to get back. But it's a very doable, you know, again, most of the labs here have already done it, so you understand it is a doable thing. But it is, again, we kind of had a lot of the pieces and parts already in place. It was just formalizing the process, getting the R&R hub connection set up, and then just doing it. So,
and I'm really glad Keith just talked about timelines, because I think it just highlights how, if you have a project like this that seems big and difficult to implement, if you throw the right resources at it, you can get it done, and you can get it done pretty quickly. Having the right people at the table, like Keith's team, he had all the right people at the table, and we had the Flip Assistance team who actually physically went out and gave him hands-on assistance for just 3 or 4 days and almost had him completely up and running. So
while these guys are thinking, I'm going to throw a question at both Keith and Desiree. Data producer and data consumer, and you talked about that it's not that hard, but at the end of the day, it is a technical project that requires resources, time, and money. But kind of now that it's done, can you talk a little bit about more? You touched on it, but have we gained efficiency? So now we've actually streamlined the process, and almost, you know, the time that we put in up front, is it worth it now on a daily basis as we go along?
Speaking from the CDC side, and I'll let Keith talk about it from the state side, because I think that's where you're going to see more of that. Once you get the setup all in place and it's going, and when it's going well, it goes really, really, really well. You get really good data really quickly. Once we have our processing SAS program in place, we just run it. There you go. I mean, I have a lot less to do with flip data than I do with other lab data. The tricky things are the volume now. The volume's increasing, so we have to figure out ways to make our processing a little more efficient to go along with that. But really and truly, a lot of the little things that we used to have to deal with in the beginning, we've got those ironed out. And again, I still have to deal with those with our other patient-level electronic data system, which is Phyllis replacement, which is a good system. But as I said before, there's a lot of cleaning still that we have to do with that. So that takes a little bit more time for that. And
as I mentioned in my presentation, prior to FLIP, the process to report the data to CDC did involve a lot of manual steps. A lot of people had to be involved in it. It is truly a fully automated thing now. We actually kind of forget about it, which may be a bad thing, because we're not actively involved with reporting it. I believe we used to do it on a weekly basis. Now it's a couple times a day. We have a reporting process that runs multiple times during the day. So if there's a flu result in that, it immediately gets sent to CDC. So for us, the efficiency was just the time and the staff required to do the manual reporting. They don't have to do it anymore. There is some incurred, IT time to monitor it. But again, it's just me checking to make sure that our FinMS server is up, which we have to do anyways. We do every now and then get a few emails saying, hey, check this out. Something doesn't seem right with this particular sample. And even though we have some double checks built into our system, there are some things that slip by. And we unreport it, re-report it, and it gets sent as a corrected result to them, and everything's good. So. Helped us tremendously. And again, right now our flu volume's fairly low, but again, if we had had this back during the pandemic, it would have really, really helped us because they spent a ton of time doing flu reporting then manually.
Any more questions? I'm going to throw one more at Linda then. So you've been to a lot of states. We've talked about a lot of success, but what really are the hurdles, maybe especially for those that have yet to kind of make it over the hump?
Well, I think some of the hurdles for the remaining states that I'm tackling now really is just they're either shopping for a LIMS, they don't have an actual LIMS in place, or they're phasing out an old LIMS. Really, I think it's buy-in from the leadership. That's another big hurdle. And sometimes it's a priority for a lab director and sometimes not. So I think for us, our job is to communicate and to share our story to make sure that they understand really what it can do for them. And hopefully this can become a model for other organisms.
Okay, last call. Any more questions? All right, can we show these guys our appreciation one more time? And I thank you guys for coming and your attention, and look forward to seeing you.